Okay, so let's get started. We are holding on Tzadik Ches Amud Aleph, a bit above the beginning, a bit above the middle of the Amud line, begins Asira. About halfway down the narrow line. Line begins Asira.
The narrow line?
About halfway down the narrow lines, yeah. As opposed to the wide lines. Okay. All right, so we're talking about the dinim of Bittul, of Isur, and Heter. We talked in the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned you have a case where Gid Anosha was cooked inside a leg, and we said that if it's nois and tam, if it gives a flavor into the leg, then it's also, and that led us into the whole discussion. That led us into the beginning of a discussion about the whole matter of Bittul, of Isur in Heter. So far, we mentioned the concept of Bittul B'Shishim. We mentioned also Rava had given a general rule that it depends. If it's min b'she'ene mina, if they're two different substances, then if they're both mutter, then you have a Jew taste it and see what he says. If one of them or both of them are osur, or whatever, if a mixture of them is also like basar b'chalav, then you have a goyish chef taste it. And if it's min b'minoy, where then you can't tell the flavor, then you need or if it's min b'she'ene mina, but you don't have a goy available to taste it, then you use b'shishim. So then you use the standard of shishim.
The question I had was, is these rules just a ginanashi?
No, this is for everything. This is for everything. Most isurim, as we're going to see, is 60. You have certain isurim where you need larger amounts, but yeah. Okay, and we've been discussing the differences about whether something is cooked together or whether it's roasted together or whether it's salted together. Okay. And then the last thing we mentioned is that to a certain extent we do. For example, we said that with roasting, no, we did. For example, we said that with roasting, if it's kochosh, if the animal is a lean one, then there's not so much of an issue with the chalev, because the chalev doesn't have very much chalev, and the chalev doesn't have the power to penetrate that much. So then you don't have as much of an issue. Then you need only kedei netzila or kedei klipa or whatever, just a layer around it, as opposed to when it's bishul, then it's a bit of a different situation. And we said that salting them together is also lenient. Okay. Anyway. So the Gemara tells, "How who kezayis the tarbut nafal b'dikula the bistra?" It happened once that a kezayis of chaylev fell into a dikula of meat. Now, usually dikula means a basket, and you have some of the Rishonim learn that we're talking about over here. We're talking either the basket had hot meat in it, so therefore the chaylev will have been absorbed because of the heat, or that they were salted together, and the question is how much it absorbed, etc. However, Rashi instead translates over here bikula as kalachas, which means a cooking pot. So the Rishonim talk about why would Rashi explain that? Why would Rashi say that bikula over here means a cooking pot? The Hebrew word is for no. Bikula is the Aramaic word. But okay, Tosfos points out that actually it can be justified because you find elsewhere in a Gemara you find the word bikula can mean hot liquid, can mean a hot boiling liquid. So fine, linguistically it can work, but still, why does Rashi prefer that explanation? So a number of Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ran, others explain, because Rashi holds, as we go through our Gemara over here, that min b'minoy cannot be bottled. Now you have, we've learned before, Rabbi Yehuda says that, and we're going to have that in our Sovia, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, a thing cannot be bottled when it's mixed in with the same substance. Rashi learned in a few places in our Masechta that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in that. Therefore, which that min b'mina is not basal. And he also holds that chalev and meat are considered the same min, because they both come from an animal, after all. Therefore, he would say that if we were talking about a matter of trying to be mevasal the fat in the meat, then it wouldn't work. So the only reason is it must be, this is the Ramban in particular explains, it must be that Rashi will have had to say, evidently the case in the Gemara is that it fell into a pot where there was meat and also gravy and also other things like that, and then fine, it's min b'she'ene and mina, then we can talk about bittul. So, because the gravy is liquid. Fine, it has a taste of meat in it, but it's basically water and spices and whatever, and we said before, those all count towards shishim. So that's what forces Rashi to say, we can't mean a basket, because we can't cook in a basket. So therefore, of necessity, it has to mean a pot. Okay. But again, you have other Rishonim who learn differently that we are actually talking about a basket that had hot meat in it or whatever. Okay, anyway. Sabra Ashi. I guess so, yeah. Okay. But again, according to Tosfos, bikuli can also be related to a word that means boiling liquid. Okay, fine. Okay, Sovereign of Ashi, Sovereign of Ashi, or of Ashi, it says on the side, L'sha'uri b'mai d'bola. So Rav Ashi thought too that we should figure out how much did the pot absorb, as we said yesterday, that we figure out the amount the pot absorbed, and we add that to figure out towards the 60. Amrilin abonim Rav Ashi. However, the other Chachamim say to Rav Ashi, how does that work? Otu de hetera bola de isura le bola. What do you think? The pot only absorbed from the heter, it didn't absorb a proportionate amount from the iser. So if you have, in other words, if you find now, you look afterwards and you find that the iser is less than, that the heter is less than 60 times the iser, and you're going to say, okay, but a few kazasim of the iser, of the heter, were absorbed into the walls of the pot. Okay, but a proportionate amount of the iser was also absorbed into the walls of the pot, so you're not really any better off. In fact,
so it says that the iser was absorbed more than the
iser. So Rav Ashi may have held that. In fact, Rashi points out earlier in the sugya that even this that we say that you can count the amount that was absorbed into the pot, that really only works if you find that the iser is exact. You know which piece is the iser, and you know that's exactly the same size as when it fell in. If it's not, if you see that now it looks smaller, then you have the problem that the Chachamim are pointing out. So Rav Ashi, that evidently as much as the heter got absorbed, so did the iser, and therefore you're back to the same problem. Okay. Another case: Hahu Pauger Dezeisa the Targa the Nuffel Bedikula de Bistra. It happened that a half a kazayis of chaylev fell into a dikula of meat. So here again, a dikula could mean a pot or it could mean a basket, whatever. The point is that it was a half a kazayis of chaylev. Now given that usually we say, as far as isurim of eating in the Torah, usually the amount that a person is chayav for, malchus or kares or what have you, is usually a kizayis, therefore, sovah, ma'abar Rav Ashi, l'sha'ori b'tzlofin paugi d'zeisa. So ma'abar Rav Ashi thought, all we need then, we don't need to be machmer and require 60 times as much. All we need is 30 times as much. So in that case, in other words, 15 kizayisim. 15 kazaisim of ether will equal 30 times as much as the ether, given that we're only dealing with a half a kazayis, maybe that should be allowed. Amar le'avua, however, his father, Rav Ashi, told him, Lav amina lalach loy tazalza b'shi'urin d'rabbanon, haven't I previously told you should not be careless with things that are also d'rabbanon? Even if you, in other words, the whole concept of bittul is d'rabbanon, because midaraisa, in general, things can be bittul 1 and 2, chad b'trei. So the whole concept is d'rabbanon, but still, you can't be careless with it. 60 is
60.
Because, no, he thought because it's only a half a kazayis. But, oid, one second. And not only that, you should know, this isn't even purely a thing d'rabbanon. You know that Rabbi Yochanan said that even though, for example, the Torah tells us that when it comes to, let's say, chaylev and most other isurei achila, the amount the person is chayev for is a kazayis, doesn't mean that minatora he would be, that minatora he's allowed to eat a kazayis. He's not allowed to. And he'd actually be chayev. Machas maudis. Word.
He's
potter. He's potter. Right. He'd be chayev if he ate a kazayis of chaylev, for example. But if he eats less than a kazayis, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you should know, it is actually awesome. And the Torah just doesn't prescribe malchus or kares or korban or whatever for it, but it's still awesome.
Now, even if he does it intentionally less than a kazayis?
Yeah. Well, are you talking about he put it into a pot? You mean he put in less than a kazayis? Oh, if he eats intentionally, that's what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about. He will get makas maudis. He'll get malchus d'rabbanon. So midaraisa, he won't be getting malchus for it, but midrabbanon, he will. So therefore, Rav Ashi is informing his son that you should know you can't play around with such things. Yes, it's only half a kazayis, and it's not chayav koris d'rabbanon, but nevertheless, you still need 60 times as much. In this case, it means you're going to need 60 half kazayisim, which equals 30 whole zayisim. Okay. Onward. Amr of Shaman by Abba, Amr of Idi by Gershom, Amr Levi by Parita, Amr of Nachum, Amr of Biriam, Mishum Zakanacha. This is a very long chain of custody of the statement. The Gemara doesn't usually do that. Plus, we have an interesting over here. You have in the middle over here of Idi by Idi. So what is that? Was he born after his father passed away, and therefore he was named after his father? Or maybe is it possible that in those days maybe they weren't so careful about like we do nowadays? You know, we don't have by us Jews. You don't have George Junior and George Senior and then George the Third and whatever. But maybe in those times they weren't.
Maybe
started to name after the living, but not father and son. They'll name after grandparents who are living, for example. But yeah. Okay. Anyway. So they said this whole chain, Mishum Zaken Echad, in the name of a certain old Talmud Chacham, Verab Yaakov Shmei, and his name, Verab Yaakov Shmei de Benesia, Verab Yaakov Shmei, his name is Verab Yaakov, that they said in the name of a certain old Talmud Chacham, whose name is Rav Yaakov, Devei Nasiya Omru, in the household of the Nasi, meaning of Rebbe, the Pashtus, they said, when we said before that eggs, you need 60 times as much to be mevatel. The samach asura, the samach va'achas muteris. If you have, it's in 60, then it's osur. But if you have in 61, then it's mutter. Now, the problem with that is, what does that mean? Does it mean that you have one egg of Isser? The case we had before specifically was Beitzas Etroyach, where you had, there was an egg that's Osser because there's a chick inside it, because we said if it's an egg from a traitor species, and in and of itself it's not a problem, because it doesn't really give, especially if it's in its shell, it doesn't really give a flavor, because egg water itself, egg white itself, is pretty tasteless stuff. But if we said before that you have to have 60. Does that mean when he's saying 60 is also 61 is mutter? So Omer Rav Zera, Rav Shavan Ba'Aba, so Rav Zera says to Rav Shavan Ba'Aba, you're being careless with saying this. Re'ei sha'ata maso b'gvul heter. Look, you have to be careful. Look what you're doing over here. You're putting in this. You're putting in a limit of the heter. In other words, you're making it. The people are going to be misled when people hear you saying that. When people hear you saying 60 is also 61 is mutter, they're going to think that you mean if you have 60 eggs of heter and one egg of iser, then it's allowed. And in fact, it's not necessarily like that. Because you see that two great the fact is, Rav Zera is telling him that it's not so certain that 60 eggs of heter is enough. Maybe what it is you need 61 eggs of heter for reasons that we're going to say in a second. So therefore, Rav Zera is telling Rav Shavan Ba'Aba, you're just saying generically 61 is mutter, but you're not being careful to specify whether you mean that 61 total, including the one of Isser, or whether it means that you need 61 of heter plus the one of Isser for a total of 62. And the problem with that is, try to shneg derla derla pirsha with a dover, because you have two great Tamar Chachamim who were asked this question, and they didn't clarify it. They were Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Kavayu Meshmed Rav Yishur Ben Levi Avri. They both said in the name of Rav Yishur Ben Levi, Beitza B'Samach Asura, B'Samach Ba'achas Muteres. They both said the same thing. It's Osir in 60, but it's Muter in 61. The Iboyaluhu, and then we have the question. They asked these, that hold on. So far, that's the thing. Samach Asura, Samach Aleph Muteres, could mean that if you have one egg of Isser and 59 of Heter, then it's no good, but one of Isser and 60 of Heter would be good. Or it could mean one of Isser and 60 of Heter is still no good, one of Isser and 61 of Heter is good. You have to be clear.
One of Heter.
One of Isser and 59 versus 60 of Isser. One of Isser versus 59 or 60 of Heter. Or one of Isser versus 60 or 61 of Heter. You're not clarifying which one. And when Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi and Rabbi Shmuel Ben Nachmeni said this, they asked them, "The samach ba'achas b'hadi yido, do we mean 61 total, including the one which is Osir? Or jumal avarmina, or maybe it means 61 of Heter besides the one of Isser?" The loy poshit, and neither of them was saying neither of them was able to say for sure. Umar poshit la mipsha, and Rav Shavan Ba'Aba all of a sudden coming and saying in such a way to the whole world, saying 60 is also 61 is mutter, where people are going to think that you mean 61 total, and you can't do that. If even these chachamim weren't sure whether 60 of heter is good enough or whether you need 61 of heter, how can you be saying it in such a way? So what is the halacha? Itmar, so we have a discussion on that. Amar Chelboy Amar Abuna, based on the samach vahi asura, if the egg is treif, and you have 60 eggs with it, then in fact it's osur. B'samach va'achas v'hi muteres. If you have 62 total, of which one of them is a non-kosher egg, then it's mutter. Now, why do you need an extra one? Why is it that normally you need 60 for most other Isurim, and here all of a sudden you need 61? So the Rosh gives a reason, because eggs come in different sizes. If you're going to be a lot, mainly with other things, I mean, other things in the world also come in different sizes, of course, but for example, with, let's say, pieces of meat, it's certainly obvious. Okay, you know they come in different sizes, so you know you're going to have to weigh them or figure out that you're going to have to figure out the weight or the volume or whatever and go accordingly. With eggs, you're likely to think, okay, one egg, another egg, they're pretty much all the same thing, no? I mean, like in recipes, you know, they tell you to use X number of eggs. They don't tell you to measure how exactly the size of the egg. So therefore, the Chachamim made a gedder in it by saying you have to have one extra one to make sure that you'll have 60 times the volume of the one that's offered. That's the reason the Rosh gives. The Rambam gives a different reason, which is that an egg is in a certain sense a beria. It's an independent entity, which is author, and therefore the Chachamim were machmer and gave it the extra thing that you need one more.
So it's one in additional
61. So in an additional 61, right. Okay. All right, more on this topic of the egg.
It's not one in additional 60 because...
Because 60 is not enough for either of these reasons, right.
So I told him that you're being mother is something which is a questionable thing. What do you do to the answer?
Well, that's the thing. I guess Rav Shimon bar Abba realized. So in Rav Shimon bar Abba's times, I guess maybe they didn't know what the answer is. Eventually, we have Rav Chelbe telling us in the name of Rav Huna very clearly that the halacha is, in fact, you need 61.
So that's only for eggs or for,
Only for eggs. Only for eggs. For most things, that you need bits or 50 is enough.
So one in additional 50.
In additional 50, whereas with eggs, you need one in an additional 61. Right. So, more on this topic. A certain person once came with a shayla to Rav Gamliel, the son of Rebbe, where he had a shayla. There was a case of Ister that was mixed with Heter. And actually, Rashi makes a point of saying that it was a half a kezayis. So, before we had, Mar Rav Ashi wanted to think that we can do much less than 60, and Rav Ashi tells him no. So, over here, this guy also comes with a half kezayis of Ister that got mixed in. Amarle, so Rav Gamliel, the Rebbe, tells him, my father did not estimate with 47, and I will estimate with 45. So what does that mean? Rashi gives two explanations. One is that Rav Gamliel Berebi is saying that in a case that came to my father, there wasn't, in fact, 60 times as much. All there was 47 times as much, and nevertheless, he held his mitzvah. So the same thing, obviously, in other words, Gamliel Berebi is saying, evidently then you don't necessarily need 60, especially like this when the amount of Ister is less than a kezayis in the first place. Therefore, I will say that we're allowed to do 45 even. That's one way, Rashi says, of explaining what Gamliel Berebi is saying. The other way is that Rashi is saying that just the opposite. Gamliel is saying, like as a rhetorical question, my father had such a case where when there was 47 times as much, it wasn't enough. You expect me now, when there's only 43 times as much, you expect me to say that it's kosher? Nothing doing.
Because
it's a half of kezayis, right? The shach actually brings up another point. The shach brings up another possibility that maybe we're not talking about it here. Rashi is assuming we're talking about a half of kezayis of Isser, probably chelas, because that's what we've been talking about the whole time. The shach says, not necessarily, maybe actually we're still talking about eggs, and in that case, why is Rav Gamliel Berebi saying that 47 or 45? Because maybe the question is, can you count the eggshells towards the amount? Because after all, the eggshells have a certain amount of volume as well, and when you get down to it, the eggshells of all of the other eggs, and also the eggshell of even the egg that's also itself, the eggshells are all mutter, so therefore they should combine towards the volume, and therefore we're saying maybe you can get away with 47 or maybe with 45, according to Rashi's first explanation, or again, according to Rashi's second explanation, just the opposite, Rambam Gamliel Berebi is saying, you can't even get away with 47, you certainly can't get away with a case like this where all we've got is 45. Another similar example with another son of Rebbe, Hahu the also Hamed Rav Shimon Berebi, a person came to Rav Shimon, the son of Rebbe, with a similar shayla, and similarly, Amalei Abalei Shir B'mem Heva, Ani Ashar B'mem Gimel, he says, my father didn't estimate based on 45, I will estimate based on 43. Again, the two possible explanations, either that he means that my father held that 45 is Mutter, so therefore, obviously, in other words, 60 is not necessarily a given, it has to doubt to be 60, 45, even 43 would be acceptable, or the other explanation is that he means just the opposite, my father wouldn't even allow 45, I certainly can't allow it in this case where you're bringing me a shayla, where you only have 43 in there.
Okay. What does that mean?
That's what it means. In other words, if even 45 is no good, how much more so 43 is no good?
What's the
point? That's the point. In other words, according to that second explanation, he's saying that maybe somewhat more than 45 would have been acceptable. Maybe it doesn't tack out to be exactly 60. But certainly, if 45 was no good, certainly 43 is no good. Okay, another example. Yeah, it's not so obvious. Therefore, the Gemara has to point it out. Because we said before, that Ma'abar Rav Ashi thought even that you could get away with 30. Okay. Another case, Ahuja also Kamed Rav Chia, a person came to Rav Chia with a shayla of Isser that had gotten mixed up with Heter. Amalei, and Rav Chia tells him, Klum Yesh Shloishim, do you have 30 over here? So what do you mean 30? Time of the lekashloshim, what do you think? The reason why it's also, if you don't have 30 times as much as the heter, as the ether, ha'ikashloshim b'sharin. Are you telling me that if you had 30, it would be good? You certainly can't go all the way down to 30. That's Rav Ashi had told Ma'abar Rav Ashi before, that 30 is going down way too far. The answer is Amar Rav Chanina Guzma. You're right. Rav Chiya is not saying as a factual statement, had there been 30, I'd be matir. He's saying, like, what are you even bothering to ask? There's not even 30 over here. There's not even a reason to ask. Not to imply, in other words, had there been 30, then it would be matir. But in other words, like, why are you even bothering to ask if it's so little heter compared to the issa? Okay. I have no idea. Okay, I'm not sure what you're asking. Okay. All right. Okay. All Isurim in the Torah, well, not all literally, but in general, Isurim in the Torah, when you need Bittul, then the Bittul involves 60. Again, you have, as Rashi says, based on the Gemara that we had before, either where you find there's no tam, or where it's min b'mina, and therefore you're not able to figure out whether there's a tam or not. Rashi mentions over here that actually if there's a tam, then it will never be bottled. Now Rashi actually in the continuation of the Sugya learns that when that like this, Rashi learns that you have a concept called in halacha tam ke'ikr, that the taste of something, even when you don't have the mamoshes of it, even when you know the actual substance of it, is osur. Rashi learns based on later in the Sugya that really applies midaraisa only to kodshim, midrabanan applies to cholin as well. Tosfos learns that no, midaraita and midrabanan applies to both cholin and kodshim. Although Tosfos also makes a distinction over there: are we talking about an actual real flavor, or are we just talking about like a little bit of an aroma or something of it, or something where there you could say that's bottle. Okay. Anyway, so we're saying in the name, so Rabbi Ba'aba is saying in the name of Rabbi Shulman Levi in the name of Bar Kapara that when you need bittul, then you need 60. Amal afon of Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, Rebbe after Omer Kain. So Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak says to Bar Kapara or to Rabbi Shulman Levi, is that really Rebbe? Are you really saying that? You should know. Hachi Omer of Achi Omer Rabbi Shulman Levi Mishum Bar Kapara. Oh, so he's saying to Rabbi Chia Ba'aba. So Rabbi Chia Ba'aba, you're saying that Rabbi Shulman Levi said you only need 60. I have from Asi, who said in the name of Rabbi, also in the name of Rabbi Shulman Levi, in the name of Bar Kapara, Kol Isur and Shabbat Torah B'meya. That 60 is not enough. You need 100 times as much. And the Gemara points out, Ushneim Lo Lamdua Elam Izroya B'Sheila. Now both Rabbi Chia Ba'aba and Rabbi Asi are learning their respective amounts, 60 and 100, based on the Zroya B'Sheila, the cooked leg, the cooked front leg of the ram of a Nazir. So we know when a Nazir becomes Tahar, he brings certain, when not Tahar, when a Nazir finishes his Nazirus, he brings certain, so successfully, that is, he was Tahar, he finished his Nazirus, he brings certain Karbonus. One of them is, he brings a ram as a Shlomim. As we say in morning davening, Atodah Ve'el Nazir, Kachim Kalim Shvetas V'chomachom Azara, etc. So that's the El Nazir. We said he brings some bread, etc. Anyway, the point is that the Pasuk says he takes this ram, maybe he shechts it, he sprinkles the blood, etc., the usual. Then he takes it, he cooks it, and then he takes the cooked front leg from it together with the chaz of a shoyk and together with one each of the two types of bread and waves them in all directions and gives them to the Kohen. And the Kohen eats those parts and the Nazir and whoever else you want to invite and his family and whatever eats the rest of it. The point is like this. That Zroya is also to Zorin. It's reserved for the Kohen.
Meaning the front leg?
Meaning not both front legs, one of them, the right front leg. It's reserved for the Kohen, but the Pasuk is telling us that you cook it, implying that it's cooked together with the animal. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, V'loka ha-koyen es ha-zroya b'sheilu v'goyim. So the Pasuk says the Kohen takes the cooked front leg of the animal and wave it, etc. The Tanya, and we learn in a Braitha, that when it says b'sheila, that the word b'sheila, besides that it means cooked, ein b'sheila el shleima. The word b'sheila means that it's whole. So how do you get from b'sheila that it means whole? So Rashi says, evidently, it must be in some other language, the word b'sheila, one second. So actually, Rashi says, apparently, there must be some other language, but b'sheila means whole. I don't know what language that is, but okay. Tosfos says it's not a different language. The Gemara is darshaning the word b'sheila as though it was boshel loch, which says boshel loch. It's cooked for itself. In other words, as it is, still whole. Now, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that, yes, maybe what it is you find sometimes that beis and mem can be exchanged for each other because both of them are letters that are pronounced with your lips closed, beis and mem. So you have, we know in general, the letters of the alphabet are divided into different categories based on the hey, my soy, sapeh, the different parts of the mouth you articulate them with. You have a group, beis, vav, mem, and pe are all ones made with lips. So therefore, so bishela can become mishela, and then by rearranging the letters, you get shlema. Anyway, so whatever it is, so it means that the leg is whole. Rav Shimon ben Yochai, and b'sheila eloshin is bashla ima'ayel. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai says that b'sheila means that it was cooked together with the rest of the ram. Now, the point is, the Gemara says, "Dekulei alma bahadi ayel mabashala." So now we can say like this: when we said, so first of all, first let's understand the machlokes of the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon. After that, then we'll understand how from this we're getting 60 or 100 respectively. So, dekulei alma bahadi ayel mabashala. Let's say, first of all, that the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon both agree that you cook the leg together with the ram. You put them all in the same big pot and cook them. Because after all, suppose it says that you take the zroya b'sheila mina ayel. In other words, leaving aside the fact that there were darshaning that b'sheila means whole, the fact of the matter is, ein mikra yotze midei k'shuta, if the pasuk says you cook it, then the pasuk means you cook it all in one pot. Yeah, it would be a big enough pot like you have in commercial kitchen, like you have in 770 or whatever, the cholent pot or whatever. Yeah, you cut up the in other words, you cut it up into pieces, but in other words, you cut it up into large chunks or whatever, and then you put them in the pot.
It doesn't
have to be roasted whole like the carbon paper. Okay. So marasov machatichla v'hadim avashala. So what it is the Tanakhama holds, what it is first you cut the leg off of the ram after it's been shechted, then you cook it together with the rest of the pieces. So shlema, that we said, just means the leg itself is not cut into smaller pieces, but it is removed, it is cut off from the rest of the animal before it's cooked. Whereas Reb Shimon says, "Ein b'sheila eloshin is bashla im ha'ayil." He means you actually cook it still attached to the rim.
The one says cooked with,
just in the same pot, but as a separate piece, and the other one says actually still attached together. Or the iboy say, "Mojikula amu machatichla v'hadim b'bashla." The other possibility is that you could say everybody agrees you cut off the leg and then you cook it. Mihu, but the difference would be Mar Sava Bahadi Ayom Mabashala, that Reb Shimon would learn that you cook it pot with the other pieces of the aisle. And therefore, in other words, the reason why we're bringing this is because we're trying to discuss, right, the taste of it that gets into the other pieces. So the boy is going to say that you cook it in the same pot, because that he says Ein B'Shela Eloshin is Bashla Im Ha'ayil would mean that. Well, Mar Sava, but they ask the law where it's a Tanakhama would say that no, okay, of course you cook it because you give it to the Kohen already cooked, but you cook it in a different pot. And so now that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos learns that actually in the first book is that Reb Shimon is the one who would say you cut it off, and then the Tanakhama would say that you cook it, and because when he says shlema means that the animal is whole, the leg is still attached. And therefore the point is, because usually the Gemara is not going to first bring, when the Gemara brings it over and then Mara says that this one holds this, this one holds that, usually in the second lashon, what they each hold, we're not going to flip around the order in which we list them. So we're not going to say first, in the first version, the Tanakhama says this, Reb Shimon says that. Then in the second version, we're going to say Reb Shimon says this, the Tanakhama says that. It's not usually the derech of the Gemara to do that. So therefore, Tosfos learns that in both cases, we're presenting Reb Shimon's understanding first and then the Rabban. Anyway, the point is, so now that we understand that, so we have two different ways of understanding the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon. So now, Lishnakama Alibi de Divrei Hakol. So now, the following point that we're going to make, that we're learning from Zeroya B'Sheila, as far as other dinim of Isser V'Heter, first version, that would work according to both Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, because both Reb Shimon and the Chachamim hold that this Zeroya B'Sheila is cooked in the pot with the rest of it. The argument is whether it's cut off or not. According to the second version, only Reb Shimon ben Yochai would be the one who says it's cooked in the same pot, because the Chachamim would say that it's cooked in a separate pot, and therefore there's no issue of taste. So now that we understand that, So it's like Manda Amar b'Shishim. So the first version, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, who said that you need Shishim to be mevatel, he says Sava Bos of Asamas Bahadi Bos of Asamas Masharinan. What it is he says we count the meat and the bones of the leg relative to the meat and bones of the rest of the aisle, and it comes out a ratio of 1/60. So therefore, you come out that 1/60th of the total animal. Manda Omer B'Meya, where the one who says you need 100, he says, he says you can't count the bones. You count the meat against the meat. And Rashi makes a point over here that when we say over here the Zroya, we're not talking about, for example, we're not talking about the shoulder. That has quite a bit of meat on it. We're talking about below the shoulders. We're talking about the bottom couple of segments of the animal's leg. In other words, here, I guess we do need this after all. So we're not talking, in other words, that we have this whole limb over here because okay, it's got the shoulder blade, but it's also got quite a bit of muscles on it. No, we're basically talking about from here downward even. We'll get the Zroy L'Chayayi Fakeva, just what it is. It's either here from the knee joint downward or from here from the ankle joint downward. But either way, the point is, there's a lot of bones in there. There's not really very much meat, relatively speaking. So when you count only the meat, if you count only meat compared to meat, then you have 1 to 100. Okay, Tursus points out it's not really a full-fledged drosha that we actually learn from this, the concept of 50 and 100. I mean, throughout the sugya, it sounds like we're doing that, and Rashi seems to learn that it is, in fact, the Gemara accepts that as this is a deraita thing. Tursus is learning that not necessarily. It's basically an asmata. Still, the Gemara is still going to try to see why we learn from that versus from something else, etc. You also have, by the way, some of the Mepharshim point out another way of looking at it. Also, Hagoyt Abbas, for example, brings something from the Yerushalmi, who says that what it is it's not just a question of do you count meat and bones versus meat and bones, or do you count only meat versus meat. The question is also, you can look at it, do we say that the bones of the rest of the aisle go into calculating the amount? If we do, then it's 1/60. If not, then it's 1/100. Because on the one hand, you can say the bones of the rest of the aisle, the bones are mutter. On the other hand, the fact is you don't eat them. So if you look at it that way, then that's another way of getting to 60 versus 100. Whether you count the mass of the bones in the rest of the body and of the legs versus you don't count the bones at all.
Meat and bone is mean, meaner.
According to Rashi, they might be considered min b'mino. I don't know, but maybe that, the fact is, or the Tosfos doesn't bring this. Hagoyt Abbas brings this from Yerushalmi. But okay, that's. I mean, the fact is, our Gemara is evidently not taking that way of looking at it. But still, you have the way of looking at it. Okay. Anyway, so that's the point. That's how you get 60 or 100. Okay. Question is, mi alfin and mi na? What are you telling me? We're actually learning from this Zroya B'Shela of the Nazir to every other Torah about Iser V'Heter? V'Hatanya, don't we learn in a Braisa? Zehu Heter Haba Mikval Iser. This is an of a Heter which is, even though it comes from something which is Oster, the rest of the ram is absorbing flavor from this Zroya B'Shela, and yet you're allowed to eat it. So you have a that this is a Heter that comes from an Iser. So what do you mean this? Lamotimai, as opposed to what else? Lavun Shabbat Torah. Doesn't it mean as opposed to all other Isurim in the Torah? Meaning we can't learn other Isurim in the Torah from this. Miklal Isur. This is the Heter that comes. So that implies, in every other word, that even though the other form from the Reb Shema, and you should also, they should be also to reserve for flavor for something that. And it's like truma getting mixed in. Nevertheless, the Torah is being master. Zehu implies that only in this one case. We're not learning from that to everywhere else. Yeah. Okay, Torah just asked the question. Maybe you could say the Braita is telling us that the Torah is saying normally you're not allowed to be mevatel isurim, but here the Torah is giving you an exception and saying that you can. So maybe we should say that's the exception. Tosfos says, okay, but no, because the expression Zehu Heter Abomikval Iser implies that we're talking about something that would have been also to eat. We're not just talking about that there's Iser that was mixed in with Heter, and we're talking about whether it's bottle or not, we're talking about whether it's actually also to eat or not. Okay, you have, yeah. you have a bit of discussion among Rishonim. Well, in other words, that's the point. It does have to do with Heter and Issur. The fact that the Braita is telling us that this is an exception implies that normally you don't have such rules. Okay. Amar Abaya, lo nitzrucha el lo Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, but the point of this Braita, the reason why the Braita says Zehu, Heter, Abom, Ifal, Issur, is specifically needed according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Min B'Mino Loi Bottle, where Rabbi Yehuda says that a thing cannot be bottled in something of the same substance. But over here, you have meat as being cooked with meat, and yet it's bottled. The meat of the Israel B'Shela was the meat of the rest of the eye. So therefore, Kamash Malon, the Hacha Bottle. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda wants to inform us in this Braisa that in this case, the Torah is making an exception. Usually, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Min B'Mino is not bottle. But over here, he would say the Torah is making an exception. That's what he means by Zehu Heter Abom Etzalis. Common who don't hold this concept of Min B'Mino, they could say in general, we're learning from this everywhere else. So the question is, even according to Rabbi Yehuda of Ligma Minyei, new, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, why don't we, in this case, why don't we make a binyan av from this else in the Torah, that just like here, min b'mina is it? So use this as a binyan av. The opposite. You're saying that this is an exception, you don't look anywhere else. Usually Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mina, in this case, is an exception. Okay, just the usually min b'mina is both. Here's the example. You have it by Eil Mazur and well, some of the Torah, Bin Yana. And there is, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, Galira, because on the other hand, the Torah also informs us, else, says Rabbi Yehuda, of the concept of Min B'Mito. Namely, the Pasuk says, by the Abba Kippur, the Lokach Midama Pora Midir. So the Pasuk describes, the Kohen brings the blood and sprinkles it in and out of the Kodesh HaKadosh HaKadosh, and does the same thing. Afterwards, he takes from the blood of the pot and the blood of the sir, and he spurts on the corners of the mizbeach. And now you have two opinions done. You have Rabbi Yehuda holds that how this is a halacha. In fact, this is how we have it on Yom Kippur, that the kohen got the basin of blood containing the pot's blood and the basin containing the sir's blood, then one into the other. He pours one into the other and pours them a couple of times so they're well mixed. And then he goes and sprinkles for seven times on the top of the mizbeach and daubs it four times, or actually the other way around, where at first he does the top, whatever it is. Anyway, the point is mixed for that. And now the point is, now you have blood of the power and blood of the sun together in the same kaby, the lois basli, and you see, one is not levar, even though a power has much more blood than a sun, and yet we see that the sun maintains its identity, mixed with the power of blood. Because you see, the Torah is telling Midama, Porta, Midama.
That's what it says.
That's the point, in other words, that Rabbi Yehuda, where we learn, Min. Because of blood, therefore, one of them is not Mavasa, but still considered to be blood of sorrow. Each one has it. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, that everywhere else in the Torah, is apostle. Therefore, so there is another opinion that you don't. Besides that, why is Rabbi Yehuda insisting that you learn from the blood and saying the Eil Mazur is an exception? Why not the other way around? Say we learn from the Eil Mazur and the blood is an exception.
Why just hold that one?
Yeah. The reason is, chidushu. Because Rabbi Yehuda is going to say the whole concept that l'chatchila, you can be mevasel isur in heter, that whole concept or that heter is mevasel isur is a chidush. And a chidush like a minin. He says we're not going to learn from a chidush. We're not going to learn from something an unusual case like that where you say that heter is mevasel isur, where after all, I mean, the isur is still there. Why should it not still be osur? You have obviously by Zroya B'Shela the Torah is telling us that's an exception to the rule, but you can learn from that to everywhere else that would usually be the case that Heter should be able to be involved in it. No.
Okay.
So the question is, Yihochi Lameir V'Samach Nami Lodzimar. In that case, then we shouldn't be able to learn. In that case, now we said basically we're learning two things. We have two things that are true of the Zoraya B'Shela. On the one hand, we're talking Min Meminoi. We're also saying though that Rav Chiya Bar Abba, and we're saying that Rav Chiya Bar Abba and Rav Asi, both of them in the name of Rabbi Shimon Levi, are saying that we learn from there 60 and 100 respectively. Because do we count meat against meat, or do we count meat and bones against meat and bones? Yeah. So if we're not, if according to Rabbi Yehuda, we can't learn from this to everywhere else about Min Meminoi, then why would we be learning the 60 or the 100? The answer is also anam lekola gamrinan. What do you think? To learn the 100 or the 60, is that a chiddush that we should say because the Torah was makel on this and said that it's mutter, therefore we're going to learn another kula for someplace else? No, lechumra gamrinan. Actually, what we're learning is something lechumra. Because the midaraisa beruba bottle. Because the fact is, midaraisa, all you would need is a roid. Midaraisa, things can be bottle 1 and 2. The whole concept that you need 60 or 100 or whatever is only dirabanan. So therefore, so yes, that we can learn from that. We can't learn from it, says Rabbi Yehuda, the kula that min bemino should be able to be bottle in general. But to learn from it, the broader concept that 60 or 100 is that we're going to require 60 or 100, even though midaraisa we only need 2. That we can learn from this, because that's a chumra. You can't say that because this has a kula, therefore we can't learn other chumras from it.
Why do we necessarily have to learn a chumra rather than a kula?
Because if we were going to try to learn a kula from it, for example, that min b'mino is bottle, then Rabbi Yehuda would say, obviously the Torah is making an exception in this case. You can't learn from it other kula. You can't learn from this kula that here the Torah is allowing you to be mevatel min b'mino, that heter should be mevatel, the same min of iser, that you can't learn from it to other places. But to learn to chumra from it, that midaraisa you should need 2, but midrabanan we're going to say, asmachta, whatever, you're going to say you need 60 or 100, that we can learn from it. But you can't say that because it has a kula, therefore you can't learn a chumra from it, that not.
And the kula is again?
The kula is that midaraisa. The kula would have been to say that min b'mino is bottle. So the Yehuda says we can't do that. In general, min b'mino is not bottle, only in this one case. If the Zroya B'Shela are saying that the flavor of the part that goes to the kayin is mutter, even though the rest of the meat that absorbed it is mutter. But normally we wouldn't say that. Again, Tosfos points out over here, according to their shitta, that this whole 60 and 100 thing is really only in a smachta anyway. So that's why even if we hold tam ke'ikur daraita, as we're going to discuss now, but still, I mean, you know, again, daraita, we still say that the tam, if the ikur is bottle 1 and 2, the tam for sure would be. The whole concept in 60 or 100 is only dirabanan, is only an asmata. So therefore, yes, we can. So even Rabbi Yehuda is going to say we can learn. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who says normally min b'mino, he's not fossil, and he, but here we're only talking about tam ke'ikr, so therefore, yeah. Okay. Because even if we say tam ke'ikr, it's daraisa, but nevertheless, when it comes to actual min b'mino, when you have the substance of iser and the substance of heter, that's one thing. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it's not fossil, but when we're talking over here about only tam, then we can say that we can accept the asmachta that 60 or 100 is enough to be
allowed. Anything else than tam, he would say it's not.
So for actual mamashos, he would say it's not. So that's one explanation how we learn from that. That's one explanation of what the Braita means when it says Zehu Heter Abomitzal Iser. The first explanation was that the Chachamim wouldn't say that. Only Rabbi Yehuda would say that. The Chachamim would say in general you can have Heter Abomitzal Iser as long as you have 60 or 100. Doesn't matter Minay or Sheinay Minay. Rabbi Yehuda had said that this is an exception. The Chachamim wouldn't have to say that this is an exception. Okay, Rava Amar. Rava says here's another way of understanding the Braita. Lo Nitzrucha Elo Tam Keiser. The chiddush of the Braita is about this concept of tam ke'ikr, that when you have a flavor of something that is osur mixed in, that's absorbed into things in heter, that such a thing should be osur, that such a thing should be osur. Dibakodshim osur, where that concept applies to kodshim. So therefore, when the Mishnah says zehu, heter, abomikal iser, it means within kodshim, this is the only case where you have that a flavor of iser gets absorbed into heter and becomes bottle. Because usually we wouldn't say that, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. When it comes to chulin, then we don't need that. Chulin, we can indeed learn the 60 or the 100, because in general, again, midaraisa, you would need really only need roiv, achur ab lahatis. So Rava's explanation is when the braisa, we were asking what is zehu hayetra abomisal iser, and we thought it meant that b'chol atara kula, you don't have that the iser can be bottle on the heter, so we wanted to say therefore it's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rava says you don't need that. Even the chachamim would say that when it comes to kodshim, most of the time, usually the tam is like the iker. When it comes to cholin, it's not like that. So therefore, when it says zehu hetra abom mikol iser, it means among kodshim, this is the only exception where we ignore the tam. Tosfos has a long discussion about that, and Tosfos says that maybe we distinguish between maybe between tam gomer, a full-fledged taste, versus tam kolduhu, just like a tiny bit of a taste or something, like just an aroma or something.
Oh, that's all meat. It's all, I mean, the point isn't that you taste in the taste. It's all...
Well, that's the point. Min b'mino, which is why Rabbi Yehuda said it's ordinarily not bottle. So Rabbi is saying, even according to the Chachamim, min b'mino is bottle, but nevertheless, they would say in Kodshim, usually it's not, but and the Zoya B'Shela is the only exception. But in Chulin, it is bottle midaraisa anyway. Tosfos learns that no, when the Gemara says over here the Kodshim Osir, it just means the Torah presents the concept by Kodshim, but it does apply to Chulin as well, midaraisa, the concept of the Tam Tehir.
It applies to Chulin.
According to Tosfos, yes. I mean, Rashi also agrees it applies to Chulin, but according to him, it's only to Rabban. Practically speaking, Tam is Keikr. The only question is whether it's midaraisa or Rabban. But Rashi mentions, for example, Gemara and Avodah Zarah, that if you only have a taste of something osur and something that's mutter, and you don't have the actual mamoshes, you don't have the actual substance of it in there, then you don't get malchus for eating such a thing, says Rabbi Yechim and over there, because tam ke'ikr is not daraisa when it comes to non-kodshim. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos will have to learn that differently, because they hold that tam ke'ikr is daraisa. Okay, anyway, let's go on. Okay, so Kamash Malon, the Hachashari. So therefore, the Braitha wants to tell us, normally when it comes to Kodshim, Ta'am is Ki'ikr, and therefore the flavor of that Zroya B'Shela, which is mixed in with the rest of the meat that was cooked in the pot over there, ought to aster it, even according to the Chachamim. And therefore, the Chiddush is that in this case, it's Mutter.
Because that's
the exception. Zehu Heter Abom Kol Iser, because the Torah tells you to cook it whole and together and whatever, and therefore, obviously, the Torah is making an exception. Okay, again, the question is, Veligma Minei, if you're going to say that, then why should we say that in general, by Kodshim, Tam is Ki'ikr and cannot be bottle? Why don't we use the same logic? Say that we're going to learn a binyan al from the Zeroya B'Shela and say that everywhere with Kodshim, when you have Tam mixed in with the it should be okay. The answer is no. Because Gali Rachmona Gabi Chathas, because the Torah specifically tells us when it comes to a Chathas, the passage says anything that touches the flesh of the Chathas becomes kodesh. So what does it mean it becomes kodesh? In what sense? It means liyas kamoya. Means other food that touches the chatas and absorbs from it becomes like it. She'im tzula, so therefore what it means is if the chatas is possible, tipossel, then the other food also becomes possible because it absorbs flavor from it. The im kshera, and if the chatas was a kosher chatas, fine, te'ocho kachomer shaba, then you have to eat the other food following the same chomra of a chatas. So let's say, for example, Rashi says, suppose that it was a shlomim, the other piece of meat. Shlomim can be eaten by anybody, by anybody in the entire Yerushalayim, by men and women, for two days and the night in between. Chatas can only be eaten by male kohenim in the Azara that day and that night, till chatas. So therefore, if a shlomim touches a chatas and absorbs from it, then the chatas can only be eaten, then the shlomim now that absorbs taste can only be eaten in the Azara by the male kohenim, etc. As if it became a chatas. Tosfos points out, actually, Tosfos brings another girsa, kachomor shabahen, like the chomra of them, meaning, in other words, Tosfos says, you could have a case the other way around, where the shlomim had a chomra over the chatas. Suppose that the shlomim was brought yesterday, the deadline for eating that shlomim now is today, shkia, whereas the chatas, you have to chatsay, so you can have, now let's say, a piece of shlomim from yesterday, touch the chatas from today, and each one of them absorbed from the other one, then each one is going to have to be eaten according to both chomers. Both of them can only be eaten by the male kohenim in the Azara, and both of them can only be eaten until Shkia. Even though the chatas right now could have been eaten for lunch. So the point is, therefore, we see the Torah is telling us, therefore, the concept of time can't be. And therefore, so it says that's the general rule. So again, the question is, am I harvest the gamrin meheich ligma mehai? Again, why should we have to learn from that case of a chatas? Why don't we, and then make the binyan av from that? Maybe better, we should make the binyan av from the ram of the nazir, from the zuriyah b'sheila, and say the general rule of time is not keter. And again, the answer is chidushu mechidush lagamrin. Again, for the reason that we said before, because the chidush. And it's a chiddush, as we said, the concept that you should be able to be mevatel chatchila, that you should chatchila be able to put that piece of meat, the zroya b'sheila, which is supposed to be reserved for the kohen, into the pot with everything else and cook it, and the rest of it is going to absorb flavor from it. That's a chiddush. You can't learn from that for everywhere else. Okay, by the way, I mean, there's a discussion among Rishonim, this concept that you can't be mevatel and iser, is that daraisa or darabon? According to Rashi, that concept is daraisa. Therefore, that's why he says the Torah is making an exception and telling you you're allowed to do it. Other Rishonim who learn that it's only Dirabbanan would say, yeah, but the difference is here the Torah is actually telling you L'Hathchila to do it this way. If we would say, fine, you're allowed maybe D'Oraisa, you're allowed to do Mavapal and Isser, but it's not a mitzvah to do it. Here the Torah is telling you a mitzvah, this is how you should cook this way. Anyway, the point is that's a Chiddush and you can't learn from that. And again, the question is, as we asked before, Yihachi L'Meya B'Shishim Namu L'Ligmer. Again, the question is you're anyway not going to learn from the El Nazir to anywhere else, then why are you learning from it to 60 or the 100, like Rabbi Abba and Rabbi says? And again, the answer is, as we said before, also Anam Lakula Kogabrinan. What do you think? Are we trying to learn a Kula from it? Where you could say it has a Kula doesn't mean that other Kula is applied from it to everywhere else. Lachumra Gamrinan. Lachumra Kogabrinan. We're learning something that's a Chumra over and above what would normally have been were that not the case. Dibidaraisa Bedrova Bottle. Because again, things are bottle in Roiv Daraisa. The whole concept that you need 60 or 100, we're learning from this Zeroy B'Sheila. That's a Chumra that you can learn from that to everywhere else. It's even the Zeroy B'Sheila, which you're allowed to cook with everything else, you still need 60 or 100, how much more so everywhere else?
Any Chumra
that you can learn from that, you can learn from it, but you can't learn from it coolest. Such as, according to the Behold of the concept of Min Meminoi, and according to Rabba, which is according to the Chachamim, the concept of Tam Keister, that Tam shouldn't be Keister. Okay. Ravina Omar. Ravina says, here's the third way of understanding when the Braisa said before, Zehu Heter Abomikal Iser, and we were bothered by what he means Zehu, implying that this is the only case where you have a Heter Abomikal Iser, there's something unique about this. So Ravina says, here's a third answer what the Braisa means. L'nitzucha el l'makam chastach. The chiddush of the braisa is about the actual place where you cut it. Now we learned, for example, in the fourth paragraph, we have the case over there of a baby animal that stuck out its arm, or stuck out its front leg or whatever, from inside the womb, where we said that limb becomes ulcer. And we said not only whatever stuck out became ulcer, but also the actual point where the interface between the inside and the outside is also ulcer, because it touched the part which is ulcer. So what actually happens is, we said you have to cut off a little bit above that part. You cut off of that part right then and there, and then later on, after the baby is born or whatever, then you cut a little bit above. When you're ready to eat it or whatever, then you cut a little bit above that, because the makam chasach itself is also. Here, the Torah is telling you that you have the zroya b'sheila attached to the rest of the aisle, as we said before, according to one opinion anyway. So therefore, the Braisa is telling us, in this case, you do have to cut off the entire zroya b'sheila afterwards and give it to the kohen, but you're allowed to eat the part of the rest of the animal that it was directly attached to. We don't say that part absorbed flavor from it, and therefore it should be also.
So
that's the exception. We're saying usually when you have Ister and Heter are attached, then you have to take off not only the Ister, but a little bit of the Heter as well. Here, you don't have to do that. Which actually doesn't even mean necessarily we're talking about them being cooked together. We're talking about, in other words, we said before the possibilities. Are we talking about that you cut it off before you cook it, or are we talking about that you cut it off or are we talking about that you cook it and then afterwards you cut it off? Either way, the point is we're saying you only have to you cut it off and then only the part that you actually cut off and give to the kohen is the part that's also. The part adjacent to that is mutter, even though it was right next to it. Yes, even though it was
touching. Yeah. It's a cooler because
if, to say that Tam shouldn't be Ke'ikah would be a Kula.
Oh, the Tam shouldn't be.
Tam shouldn't be like it. So therefore, instead, we use the Chumrah that we learned by Chatas, that applies it. Okay, so therefore, so the Omer Mokam Chasach Ba'alma Oster, because usually we say that the place of the cut between the interface between the Isser and the Heter is itself Oster. But HaChashari, over here, uniquely the Torah is telling us that it's Mutter. So nothing to do with the whole matter of Bichol. This is a unique thing we're learning as far as the Din of Makam Chasach. And therefore, we're saying that we that everything else we can learn from it, we can learn from it the matter of 60 and 100, and yeah. Yosef Rav Dimi, the Kamo Allah Hashmaita. Okay, so now Rav Dimi was sitting over and saying this statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, that the statement of Rav Shmuel of Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak that we started the sugya with, that we had Rav Chiya Bar Abba saying 60, and Rav Shmuel Bar Abba and Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak said that, what are you talking about? Rav Asi said 100. So Rav Dimi was sitting over and saying over this thing about that you need 100. Are you telling me that Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak would say that with all Isurim in the Torah, you need 100 times as much? Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak says, the expression was that Rav Chiya Bar Abba said, Kol Isurim Shabbat Torah B'Samach, and Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak said, no, Rav Asi said, Kol Isurim Shabbat Torah B'Samach. So what are you telling me that you would say Kol Yisur and Shabbat Torah B'Meah? V'hotnan, don't we learn in a Mishnah in Orla as follows? Lema Omru, in what connection do the Chachamim say that Kol HaMechabes U'metabo U'medameah, that when you have something that is able to make something else chomet, namely sourdough, Mechamet means something that's able to make something else chomet, or metabol, something that's able to spice something else, like pepper or various other kinds of spices. Umedameya, or mixtures of truma and cholin, we say lahachmir. In those cases, we say that we're machmir in them. So what does that mean? When do we say lahachmir? Min uminoi. That would be if you have one substance mixed into the same kind of substance. Then we go l'chumra, as we're going to explain in a second what that means. L'hokul, l'hachmir, what do we have a case where the chachamim say, sometimes we're mekel, sometimes we're machmir, that would be min m'she'enen, you know. That would be when you have a min mixed with a different kind of min. In other words, again, you have to remember, min,
why?
That's what we're going to figure out. But the point is, min or min, remember, you can't tell what the taste is. You can't tell whether the heter has a taste of the iser in it, because they all taste the same anyway. Min b'she'en emini. For two pieces of meat, I mean, here we're talking about truma. Here we're talking about truma, for example. So we're talking about, let's say, two different vegetables or whatever, yeah. Or let's say, mechametz would be, for example, two pieces of dough. Yeah. So what does this mean? The Mishnah explains. The Katani Sefer, and then the next Mishnah continues. Lahokul lahachmir min b'she'en. So the part about what we mean lahachmir that we're going to talk about on Omer Beis, what we mean machamet and metabol, etc., is like that we're machmir. That we'll get to soon. But first, let's deal with the next part, where we said that when min b'she'en minay lahokul lahachmir min b'she'en minay ketzad. How do we have with min b'she'en minay that sometimes we're mekel, sometimes we're machmir? So like this, grisin shenisbashlu im hadashim. If you have split peas that were cooked together with lentils, and Rashi says, let's say, for example, min b'shein eminah, so the two different types of vegetables, the two different types of beans, whatever. The point is, Rashi says, the split beans were from truma,
right,
and the lentils that they were cooked with were cholin. So now the question is, can zorim eat from it? So im yesh behen benoisim tam, so if we have a Kohen taste it, and he finds he tastes in the lentils the taste of the beans. Then, Bein Yesh Behen Lahalas B'Meya V'Echad, then whether you have 100 times as much Cholin as Truma, Bein Ein Behen Lahalas B'Meya V'Echad, or whether you do not have that much, Osir, then it'll be Osir to Zorim. Normally Truma can be bottled 1 in 100. You have one saw of Truma falls into 100 saw of Cholin, then usually it's bottled. Rashi actually says that the Sifri learns it from a pasuk. The gist of the limud is that trumas meiser is 1/100th of the crop, and the Sifri learns from an expression in the pasuk over there that if it falls into the rest of the cholin that it came from, then it'll make them also. So if you have one hundredth falls into the rest, that means it's 1/100th falling. That means it's one falling into 99, implying therefore that if one falls into 100, it's mutter. So normally we would say that, but over here, because you have the tam over there, therefore it's not bottle. And the Mishnah continues, ein behen benoisim tam, if there's not enough, if the beans did not give a flavor to the lentils, So that's the case where we have a chumra. Even though you have more than 100 times as much lentils as beans, nevertheless, the whole mixture is also tzarim.
Because of the
tam. On the other hand, ein behen benosin tam, but if the beans did not give a flavor to the lentils, bein sheyesh behen lahalos meyer be'echad, bein ein behen lahalos meyer be'echad, then whether you have 100 times as much or whether or not, mutter. Then it's mutter to reserve. Because Rashi says, now why would that be? Because when do you need 100 times as much? When you have the issur is be'ein. When you have, for example, let's say wheat gets mixed with wheat, or in this case, for example, let's say things that didn't cook together, here you have them cooked together, and why is it there's no flavor, and you can't even see the beans anymore, the beans got completely dissolved. So then it's not considered min b'mina anymore. Or it's not considered min, then it's not, then not min b'mina, it wasn't min b'mina in the first place. When you have min b'mino, then Rashi says, based on the sugya, as we're going to go on, then you have to have two things. There's no tam, and you have 100 times as much. Here with min b'she'en and mino, you don't need that. As long as you have no tam, and you can't see the beans over there anymore, then it will be mutter even if you have less than 100 times as much. So thus far the Mishnah, so Abaya says to the Dini, when we say Ein behem la'alos me'ev echad el b'mai, so you're saying that there wasn't 100 times as much, but obviously there had to be some reasonable amount to be mevatelit. So what would that be? Lav b'shishim? Wouldn't it have to be that there was at least 60 times as much in order to be mevatelit? So that's the question. In other words, your question is that in general it sort of require 100. But here we have an example where the Mishnah seems to be implying you don't need 100. You don't need 100 because the Mishnah is telling us that you have a case for Hakel. But evidently you need something. You need the next standard, which would be 60. So therefore, that means that usually you sort of shalat Torah, you need 60 to be in the Vakel, not 100.
You
don't have 100 times as much. Nevertheless, the saying is bottle because there's no time.
No time.
But you need something to be in the Vakel at the Kashas, you need 60. In order to be in the Vakel at the Kashas, you need 60.
The answer is one, the mayor. No, the Bimi says no. What it means is that
you don't have 101 of Hector, you have 100 of Hector. Then we're saying it's still bottle. So we're going to discuss why we're going to discuss soon why we should think you need 100 of hectares. You know what? The same way as we said before about eggs, we said 60 and 61, and we weren't sure whether it meant 60 kosher eggs or it meant 61 kosher eggs, the same way Dimi is saying over here. Normally you would need 101 of hectares. In this case, because there's no time, then you need only 100. So the question is, Rabbiya continues, Vahamadir Reisha B'meya, have a safer B'shishim. What are you talking about? The first part of the Mishnah evidently is talking, where the Mishnah mentions about Minu Minoy, is talking about 100, not 101. So obviously the safer, which is telling us that sometimes you don't need that, must be, it can't mean that you need more, it must mean you need less, you need only 60. No, well, but it can't, no, because Vahakal Vahakhmer would mean sometimes we're Machmer, and we say even though you have 100, it's not bottle, and sometimes we're Makel, even though you don't have 100, it's bottle. So therefore, that means you need less than 100. Ichatani Reisha, because again, the Reisha of that Mishnah says as follows, Lahachmim minu minoi keitzad. How do we see that when you're talking about min b'minoi, when you're talking about two of the same min, that we're machmer, and we say that even 100 is not enough. Keitzad, what's an example of that? If you have sourdough of wheat, a sourdough made from wheat flour that fell into a dough made out of wheat flour, the yeshba kedei lachamis, and you have the piece of sourdough is large enough to make the rest of the dough chametz, which is nois and tam, so it definitely gives a flavor because you can obviously tell the difference in flavor between chametz bread and non-chametz bread. So the Mishnah continues, bein yeshba kedei lachalos b'mei v'echad, whether you have enough of heter of chulin to be able to remove the chometz, in other words, that you have 100 times as much of chulin, bein ein bo kedei lahalos b'mei v'echad, or whether you don't have that much chometz. No, you're thinking of Pesach.
Yeah, yes.
This is during the rest of the year. We're talking about the rest of the year, Truma and Chulin. Yeah. So, uh, So ein bechdil halos meivachol. So if you don't have, so it's like this. So the Mishnah is saying as follows: if the piece is big enough to make the rest of the dough chametz, then it doesn't matter whether it's 100 times as much anyway. Either way, it's awesome. And if there isn't 100 times as much chulin, then it doesn't matter the size of the piece of dough, of the sourdough that fell in, whether it's able to make it chametz or whether it's not, also. In other words, like we said before, that you need, in this case, with min meminoi, for it to be mutter, you would need both. Number one, that it didn't give a time, because it was too small. And number two, that you have 100 times as much.
Not like a piece of the case. Well, that's exactly.
So the point is, in other words, so Abaya says to Rav Jimmy, Reisha the Sefer B'meya. Evidently, both the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about, Reisha the Sefer B'meya. Are you telling me then that both the first case of Min B'minoi and the second case of Min B'she'ene Minoi are B'meya? Obviously not. If the second case that we quoted on Omer Aleph mentions that sometimes you can be Mekel means less than 100. So you're telling me that always you need 100, whether we're talking Truma, whether we're talking any kind of Isser, but here we clearly see, evidently, if the Reisha is talking about whether you have 100 or whether you don't have 100, and the Sefer is talking about whether you have enough to be Mevatel or not, evidently it must be less than 100.
Why?
Because otherwise, then there's no Kula in the second case. In the second case, Min B'Sheini Mina, there's no Kula. If you're going to say you always need 100, and without 100 it's not Vatel, then there's no Kula over the first case.
So we have to say
that it must be that's less, that you're only 60. Yes.
What would be less, 99?
60. 60, Bapashtis. That's interesting. Either 100 or 60. We don't seem to have any other figure. Okay, so Dimi answers, boy, Reisha B'meya B'chad, the safe of B'meya. No, maybe the first case of Min B'minoi is talking about you need 101. So you would need, in other words, 101 times as much chula in Timi Mavasalit. And then as long as it doesn't have a tam, then you're good. The safer B'meya, and the safer would be talking about,
100.
The safer would be talking about where you have exactly 100. Well, there'd be a cooler, it'd be a slight cooler, but it's still a cooler. It's 100, it's still 101 versus 100, but you still don't have to say that you have any source for 60. Okay, so the question is, okay, but in that case, says Abaya to him, if the first case is talking about where you have 101 times as much heter, so what do you mean? Is there any possibility that it has the ability to be mechametz when you have 101 times as much cholin? The sourdough is not that strong to be able to be mechametz 101 times as much cholin as truma, as much cholin as itself. A mile bottle, so why shouldn't it be bottle? Obviously, by the time you get to 101 times as much cholin dough, it's not giving a flavor into it, and therefore it shouldn't be bottle. Ishtik. So Rav Jimmy was quiet. He didn't have an answer to that. Now, the question that Abaya is asking is, by the time you get to 101 times as much chulin as truma, there's no way that the sourdough of truma is making the 101 times as much chulin dough into chametz bread. It's not able to give a tam into that much. In fact, Mephoshim explained, I mean, why should we say 100 at 10, 101 at can't? So Mephoshim, so it's a different Mephoshim talk about, because even 100 is kind of like the extreme end of it. We said 60 or 100, we're learning from the El Nazir, but in other words, the idea is many Isturim, the taste of them can be bottled in less than 60. We had before with Gamliel Berebi and Shimon Berebi, maybe conceivably even in less than 60. Maybe even 47 or 45 or whatever, but many Isturim, the taste of them is bottled in 60. You have a small number of Isturim where you need a larger amount, but still 100 is like the extreme edge of it. So either by the time you get to 100, there's very few Isturim, if any, that are actually going to give a flavor. 101 is already off the charts. So why? That's the point that Rabbi is asking. If you're telling me that we're talking about that you have 101 times as much colon, and you're saying if there's a tam, nevertheless it's still usher, how is it going to give a tam at 101? Okay, Tosfos has a whole different understanding of the sugya. Tosfos says maybe we're talking about 99 versus 100, and maybe we're Because that's that. In other words, when we say 101, do we mean including the issue? That maybe we're saying, in other words, when you need 100, it means including the issue. So like I said, Tosafot gets into a bit of discussion about it, but at least the Maksha thought that it meant 100 without the issue, and therefore so we're saying that maybe 100 includes with the issue itself, and we're saying that's not the way it works. Anyway, the point is. And then Tosafot says, as far as the question about chametz is a separate thing, not so much about 101 versus 100. The question is that chametz is not really a nesinus tam like other things. Usually when we talk about nesin tam, we talk about it gives an actual flavor. Here it's not so much giving a flavor. Here it's more of it causes a change, but it's more like putting rennet into milk to make cheese or something, rather than cheese obviously has a different flavor than milk, but it's not so much, we don't talk about it so much as a nesin tam, we talk about it as a mamzer. So why are we here? Are we saying that it should have the same din as nosin tam? And that's how Tosafot learns it. Okay. So anyway, so we said that...
It's not really tam.
So that's one way of being. Ishtik, so again, we said that Rav Gimi was quiet. Amale, so Abaya says to Rav Gimi, maybe actually I can find an answer for you. Dilma, shiny sod, chimotei kosher. Maybe you could answer that actually sourdough is different because some sourdough is very active. It's able to make a much larger amount of dough chametz.
Regardless of
according to Rashi, in other words, the point is maybe even conceivably it could act on 101 times as much because some sour is stronger than others. According to Tosafot, the answer would be that sour is not just a mamid, it's not just a mechametz. It actually does sometimes the sour is strong enough to actually give an actual flavor into the dough. So therefore, you could argue that therefore maybe your point is valid, that you could say that therefore the Mishnah is mentioning to begin with 101 and then later on continuing with 100.
So he's saying because sir is so active.
Therefore, maybe it's an exception. Maybe it's an exception to the rule. Right. Amalei, so Rav Dimi tells him, good. It's Kauchan Milsa de Omer of Yosef of Chanina. You've reminded me, when you mentioned that about Sa'ur being stronger, you reminded me of something that Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina says. Loi kol ha-shiurim shavin, where he says, not all shiurim are the same as far as giving a flavor. Sha'arei tzir, because consider juice from fish, from pickled fish. Shiurei korev l'masayim. And there, the shiur, to be mevatel it, is almost 200. This none. When it comes to fish, if you have, let's say, for example, non-kosher fish were pickled together with kosher ones, then you have the shear to be mevatel it is much more than 60 and much more even than 100. You need close to 200. Hold on. Hold that thought. It's not, and that's the point. That was Rav Gimi is saying. You see that some things are stronger than others, but wait, one second. It's not, as we learn in a Mishnah, dog tome, tsiroi osir, non-kosher fish, the tsir, the juice that comes out of them, is osir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer revius the fasayim. Rabbi Yehuda says a revius of it can answer up to two sa of tzir that is not kosher or of anything else. Now let's calculate. A revius can make trace a fasayim if you have a revius of tzir from a non kosher fish mixed in with two sa of tzir from kosher fish, then it'll make it osir. Now let's figure out how many revius are in two sa. So Rashi says. You have like this. A revius is one quarter of a log. A log is one quarter of a calf. So far you've got 16 revius make up a calf. A saw is six cabins. So a saw is six cabins. So therefore you've got 16 times 6 is 92. 96. 16 times 6 is 96. A saw is four cabins. A calf is four logim. And a log is four revius. Four revius. So 16. So 16 times 6 is 96, times 2, because 2 saw is 192. That's what you mean. In other words, therefore, Sir Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that seer is able to ask their other seer in a ratio of 1 to 192. So it's much more than 1. Yeah. So the question is, how could we say that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that? V'ha'amar Rabbi Yehuda min b'minor le bottle. Didn't we just say before that Rabbi Yehuda says min is not bottle and minoy, and seer is seer. So how is, according to him, is it bottle in more than 192? The answer is, it shouldn't be bottle at all. The answer is, shiny sphere de zeya ba'almahu. The answer is, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, sphere is different because it's just sweat. It's just it's not really the substance of the actual fish itself. So the difference is, so Rashi learns this, it's in that Rashi. Tosfos, Rashi doesn't really address it, but Tosfos says that means it's only also Drabbanon. It's only also Drabbanon, so therefore other kinds of non-kosher species, the tzir of them is actually also Daraisa. Tosfos brings from various Gemaras where we see that that's the case. But the tzir of fish is not so, and one thing is, you mentioned about fish being strong, so actually you have a number of Rishonim talk about, I think the Ramban, for example, mentions, that actually compared to meat, for example, or compared to shrotim or other such things, the sear of fish is actually fairly weak stuff. So therefore, that's why Rabbi Hoda, it's only also the Rabbanim. So for example, meat that exudes, liquid that exudes from meat, for example, or whatever, wouldn't be bottled according to Rabbi Hoda at all, because it has mamashos sort of the meat in it. But sear of fish, according to Rabbi Hoda, we can be lenient, and we would say it's only also the Rabbanim. Other mafarshim explain it's not so much the fact that it's not so much the fact we're not specifically we're talking about seer, we're saying that seer is zeyabal. In other words, there's two ways of understanding our Gemara. One is that the Gemara is mentioning seer, but it would apply actually to any issur d'rabbanon. That we could say according to Rabbi Yehuda minoy would be bottle. The other way of looking at it is Rabbi Yehuda would say in general issurim d'rabbanon is also minoy is not bottle. Seer is an exception to the general rule because it's weaker.
So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbanan mean the Mino would not be bottled?
That's one way of looking at it. I just said there's two ways. One way is that they would say that always things that are only also the Rabbanan can be bottled min Mino, as long as you have enough to min the bottle them. The other way of looking at it is even things that are Rabbanan not, but only Tzir is the one exception. Only Tzir of fish, specifically. Okay. We didn't say before that's very well. It's more powerful than other kinds of Isurim, and therefore it's able to give a taste up to 192 times as much. But nevertheless, compared to seer from other creatures, for example, from meat, it's fairly weak stuff, and therefore it's not really considered the actual body of the fish itself, such that it should never be bottled according to the Bihoda. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, the case of Masharinan, we said that. Okay. So the bottom line that we've gotten from this whole sugya about Bittul is, again, you have the two basic opinions whether the basic amount is 60 or 100. The halacha is like the b'chir ba'aba, then general 60. And we said sometimes you have various exceptions to that. We said eggs are an exception in 61. We said that it also depends whether it gives a tam or not. According to Rashi, by the way, I mentioned before, Rashi holds the halacha is like a b'chir, that min b'mino is not bottle at all, even in 60. Most of the other Rishonim disagree with the Rashi on that and say the halacha is like a chachamim that min b'mino can be bottled. And then we said, in principle, sometimes you can ask a goyish chef to taste it and see what he says, although the Ramah says nowadays we don't rely on that. So among Ashkenazim, we don't rely on that. Among Sfaradim, occasionally they do, although generally not. I came across an interesting thing that one of the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim one time came up with something as follows. There was a case like that where you had some of the heter and isser mix. It was by an Ashkenazi. So according to an Ashkenazi, what are you going to do? You can't ask a goyish chef to taste it. So I think the fact was something like you can give it to a Sephardi. The Sephardi who holds by the shitta of the Machaber that you can take it to a goyish chef can take it to the chef. The chef will taste it. If he says that there's no taste of the issur in it, then the Sephardi can taste it. Then the Sephardi can eat from it. And once he can eat from it, then so can Ashkenazi. I think something like that. I forget the exact details, but it was something along those lines. Would Rabbanim, would we do that? No. I mean, but you have to realize it was a matter of, for poor Yerushalmim in those days, such a thing would be a hefsim mirubah. All right. Then the Mishnah said, taste of Masharinan. So how do you estimate? So if you have, instead of Gidanosha, was cooked inside a leg, so how do we estimate whether it was enough to give a flavor to the rest of the leg? So we said kibosav lefes. We do as if you had meat cooked together with turnips and see if there was enough meat to give flavor to the turnips, then we would know by the same amount, that by the same proportions, the ginanasha is enough to give a flavor into the meat. Therefore, it would be off. The Chachamim had, we Rashi had said on the Mishnah that we learned from halacha the Moshe Mishnah that that's how it is, that the ginanasha relative to the rest of the meat is like meat to turnips. So, Amar Rav Huna kibasa b'roshei l'fasim. Specifically, what it is like meat with the tops of turnips. So what are the tops of turnips? It actually gives two explanations. One is it means the one is that it means the leaves of the turnips. Now you have turnips actually come in a few different varieties. You have the kind that we buy in the store where you buy just the root and you don't usually have leaves on them, but you have a couple of different other varieties of turnips that are grown mainly for the leaves. One of them, for example, is the kind that you have sometimes in Chinese cooking, bok choy, and you have a couple of other kinds that are grown more for the leaves. So the first explanation, Nashi says, is Rashi Lafosis, means the way you estimate it is not by cooking meat with turnip roots, but rather with turnip leaves.
That's much less strong.
In other words, the point is meat is able to give much more of a flavor into those, right? Then Rashi says a second explanation is it means within the turnip root itself. The top part of the root is sweeter than the bottom part. So therefore, you're going to be able to, with the bottom part, you would be able to tell the taste of the meat much more easily if you cooked it with the bottom part of the turnip than with the top. So therefore, the way you estimate it is you use that for the tops of the turnip and cook them together with meat and see whether it's enough to give it a flavor.
It's not as acidic the top?
Apparently, that's how Rashi said. I don't like turnips. I don't like turnips as well, so I don't know. Usually they cook turnips, and once they're cooked, they don't really have that much of a difference. But I guess if you eat them raw, I don't know, you'd be able to tell. All right. Fine. So the Gemara says, "Masnisim deloika haitana." Our Mishnah that is saying that the Gidanoshe makes the rest of what was cooked in it also because of the time, deloiki haitana. That is not like the following Tana, the Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel, Benoshe, Rabbi Yosef, and Baruch Omer, ain't the Gidim, Benoshe, and Tam. Gidim do not have a flavor. So we talked about at the beginning of the parak, actually, that it's not...
One second.
Let me finish. Hold on. That's a fair point, actually. And in fact, the Mefarshim say that when Rashi said halacha l'moshe m'sinai, he didn't actually mean that it's literally halacha l'moshe m'sinai. One second. Yeah, according to that, sometimes the Gemara uses the word halacha l'moshe m'sinai a little more loosely for something that the Chachamim have generally accepted, which like this, if we say...
No, one second.
The concept that a gid has a flavor and that it gives a flavor, kibosa b'roshi l'fosis, we can say that is halakha l'moshe m'sinai. Does it apply specifically to the gid anoshe? Especially, we said before, the gid anoshe has different parts. There's the hard part of it, the central part of it, there's the other parts of it. Rabbi Yochanan Breker would say that the gid, at least the hard part of the gid, is not nos and tam. So therefore, he can say that because, again, we're saying kibosa b'roshi l'fosis would apply to other cases of gidim that are offered. Hard gidim are not nice and time. We talked about it at the beginning of the parak. It's not they don't have a time at all. It's an objective thing. You can find they have a little bit of a time. But is that time enough to be considered a time in halacha? Okay. Anyway, so it'll be just Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Breker, a whole day on a time. So here's a case, a certain person came to Rav Chanina with a shayla, like that, where Gid Anoshe had been cooked inside the meat. Have a Yosef Rav Yehuda bar Zvina Abava, and Rav Yehuda bar Zvina was sitting by the gate outside Rav Chanina's house. Kinafak, so when the Yid left after asking the shayla, Amalei, so Rav Yehuda bar Zvina asked him, my Amalach, what did Rav Chanina tell you? Amalei shayla nele, so he said he was master to me. Amalei, so Rav Yehuda bar Zvina says, no good. Go bring it back to him. You must have misunderstood. The halacha cannot, Rav Chanina cannot possibly have passed in that it's mutter. It was a case of Gid Anoshe that was cooked inside meat. So Rav Chanina had passed in as mutter, and Rav Yehuda bar Zvina is saying it's impossible. You must have misunderstood. Hodr Ailo L'Kameh, so the Yid comes back in with the meat. Omar, and Rav Chanina says, man hai to come aside. Who's bothering me? There must be a Talmud Chacham sitting outside who told you to come back in. Zil emalei l'man de yosef ababa. Go tell whoever that is who's sitting out there, ein begidim benayis and tam. Gidim do not have a flavor, and therefore all you need to do is throw out the gid anosha. You don't have to worry about the flavor that the rest of the meat will have absorbed from it. He also the chamei de rabami, another...
Gid anosha alone has part of the meat, part of the...
No, the Gid Anoshe itself isn't new. What it is, though, it is true that you have shumen around it, you have fat around it, and Rashi actually at the beginning of the parak talked about that, not the beginning, whatever, earlier in the parak talked about that, granted, this halacha may not apply to the Gid Anoshe itself. If we say in the Gid Anoshe Dam, it would still apply to the shumen, to the fat around it, because that definitely gives a flavor. Tosfos actually in the previous parak and also in our parak says maybe not actually. They bring from the Rivam who says, look, The fact of the Gidanosha itself is only also the Rabban. If you're going to tell me that the Gidanosha itself is not giving a flavor to the rest of the meat, and therefore you don't have to worry about it, there's no reason we should be machmir more on the shuman of it than on the gid itself. So he holds that, in fact, it would, the din wouldn't apply at all.
The shuman would be inside the
nerve? No, mashmir's not inside. Mashmir's just around the nerve.
So it's not the
gid. Okay, but nevertheless, it's also the rabbanon. We said yisroel kadosh nagabar yisur. We said earlier in the parak. But nevertheless, the Rivam says, if you're saying that the gid anosha itself is not making the rest of it also, neither does the shuman. So another example, he also the kameh did Rabami, when people would come to Rabami with such a shayla, where they cooked the gidanosha inside the meat, Meshadolohu, the kameh did Rab Yitzchak ben Chaluv, he wouldn't pass it on himself, he would send them to Rab Yitzchak ben Chaluv, the Mori Bala Hatera, Mishum did Rab Yishor ben Levi, because Rab Yitzchak ben Chaluv would tell them that it's mutter on the basis of what he learned from Rab Yishor ben Levi, the Leilai Svirlai, whereas Rab Ami himself didn't hold that. So Rab Ami himself didn't want a paskin that it's osur. He would have said, you have to go according to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says it's osur. If you don't have it, if it's benos and tam. But he says, but Rab Yitzchak Bachalov learned from Rabbi Shurban Levi that the halacha is not like our Mishnah. So he's entitled to paskin that way. So good. If you want a heter, go to him because I can't give you such a heter. Yeah. Rabbi Shurban Levi is like a semi-tana. But yeah, he had to come up. Because he's like sort of Tana, sort of Amora. He's like in that transitional generation.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah. The Hilchasa, the bottom line, Halacha ain't the Gidim Menos in Tam. That Gidim do not give a flavor, and therefore, again, if you cooked it with the Gid, there's not such a problem. Again, Rashi says there would be a problem because of the fact around it. The Rivam says that not. The halacha regarding the shulman is, if I remember correctly, like Rashi, that actually we do say that the shulman of it, would you do have a problem, and therefore... I think both Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Okay, Tosfos actually brings up an interesting side point, which is that you have a Gemara in Sochem that discusses the question, is the Gidanosha also Bahano? And one second, is it also Bahano or is it Mutter Bahano? So the Gemara talks about over there, according to Rabba Bohu, that it depends on this question of whether Gidim have a Tam or not. If you say that Gidim have a Tam, then the Torah is telling you you're not allowed to eat them, and you're not allowed to cook them with the rest of the meat, but that means you're allowed to have enough from them. If you say, in begin, but no tam, then what would be the point of that you can't eat it? It's only like wood anyway, it doesn't have a tam. Then it would have to mean that the Torah is telling you it's also b'hano. If we say, the logic is, again, if the Torah is, usually when the Torah tells you you're not allowed to eat something, usually it also means it's also b'hano. But many times. But in this case, if you say it's also to eat, in other words, it is something that has a flavor, and it's like other things of Isser, that you're not allowed to eat because they have a taste of Isser, then fine. The point is the Torah is telling you you're only not allowed to eat it, but you're allowed to have enough of it. If you say it itself is like wood, case, ba'alma, it doesn't even have a flavor, so what's the point of the Torah telling you you can't eat it? Obviously, it must be that it's also ba'ana. That's one way of explaining it in the Gemara over there. That's Rabba Bohu's way. If you say it that way, it would come out, if all Gemara is telling us that ain't the Gid Menos in Tam, it would mean the Gid Anoshe is also Bahano. On the other hand, the fact is, we had earlier in our Perek, for example, we said that you can send a leg, to a guy if it has the Gid Anoshe, over there. Tosfos discusses how is it we're able to sell meat to the goy when it has the gidanosha in it, etc. Anyway, so you have so there does end up being a machlokas about that subject. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings the opinion that the gid is mutter, that the gidanosha is mutter b'ana. However, it says over there that if a person can be machmer, then that would be better. It's interesting. There's also an interesting point that's brought up about that, which is the Zohar says that the gidanosha is also b'ana, and therefore maybe we should follow that. On the other hand, some Achronim point out, who wrote the Zohar? Rav Shimon ben Yochai. And that opinion that says, and therefore it should be also b'hanah, is Rav Shimon. So fine. Okay, that means that the Zohar, who Rav Shimon himself wrote, he goes according to his own shita, it's also b'hanah. Doesn't mean we have to follow that necessarily. The halacha may be like the Chalamim.
So the whole point regarding Anah depends on whether or not you say the Gid has Tam.
So part of it, that's one way of looking at it. The Gemara has a whole discussion about it in Sufim, where there's actually a whole other way of explaining the Machlokas over there, where it has nothing to do with whether it has a Tam or not.
And the
So the other way, I would have to look at Sufim, I don't remember, but But you have over there, you have Rabbi Bohu's way of explaining it, but you have a different way, I think Chizkiya's way of explaining it, I think it is in the Gemara over there, that says that it doesn't depend on the question of whether it's been of whether it didn't have a time or not. It depends on other factors, whether we say it's also remote. I don't remember. But be that as it may. Yeah, okay, we can find a stuff in these of them. All right, well let's do one more line of the Gemara over here. We said in the Mishnah, Gid Anosha Shen Espasho, we said that if the Gid Anosha is cooked with the rest of the meat, then we said that the Gid itself is also. We said that if you cook it with other Gidim, we said, then if you recognize it, then Benoit and Tam, and if not, then all of them are also. So the question is, why if you cook with other Gidim, are we saying that all the Gidim are also if you can't recognize it? Why not just say it's bottle beroiv or bottle beshishim or whatever? And the answer is beria shiny. It's different when you have a beria. We discussed the other day the idea that the din anosha is a beria because it's something that Tosa says because the Tosa singles it out as a specific part of the body, which is also the Ran says because something that was also from when it first came into existence, and it's something that only when it's whole does it still, it hasn't been cut up, and when it's whole it has a certain identity, and when it's cut up it's called something different, and then it has chayus in it at one point because it belonged to a living animal, and therefore it's a beria, and a beria is not bottle. Similar to eggs, yeah. We said can be bottle, 1 in 60.
Well,
why 160? Because the barrier. No. There we said 61. Well, one means that I'm not that the barrier. That's why you need 61. But still, it's not a total barrier because the fact is it was never alive, and it's not really considered part of the chicken per se.
Barrier was
no, it's not. That I'm not similar to a barrier, and therefore the Chacham were machmer and said that it needs it. Anyway, so there's the Gemara and the Gemara in Stockholm over there. Discusses about the Gid Anosha I don't remember if the other one was Chizkiya, but here we can see real quick. You have Rav Bohu saying that when it's true on the one hand the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat the Gid Anosha. On the other hand, the Torah also tells us that you're allowed to sell or give a nevela to a guy, and that's mutter b'hanah. Rav Bohu says that when the nevela is mutter, everything in it is mutter, including the Gid Anosha. So the question is then, what about if you say in beginning benois and tam? And the answer is that's only according to Rav Shimon. And Rav Shimon in fact says that, and Rav Shimon in fact would say that it's also b'hanah. So therefore, Rav Shimon would say that in fact you're not allowed to have hanah from it. So Rav Bohu would say if the Gid Anosha has no tam, then you can't say it's mutter along with the rest of the Gid Anosha. It's mutter along with the rest of the nevela. Therefore, in fact, it would be also b'hanah. Also, now Tosfos over there says, and Tosfos over there brings an opinion. Tosfos over there brings an opinion of Chizkiya that says that earlier in the sugya in Pesachim, actually it's not just Tosfos brings. The sugya begins that Chizkiya is saying, how do we know that Chometz for Pesach is also b'hanah? And the Gemara explains that he disagrees with Rav Bohu on the basic concept where we know that things that are also to eat are also b'hanah. Rav Bohu says in general when something is also to eat it's also also b'hanah. Chizkiya says only if the Torah spells it out like the bells are Chometz for Pesach. So therefore, according to Chizkiya, you don't have to say that the Gid Anosha, that whether it's also a motor b'hanah should depend on whether it has a time or not. And b'hanah, unless the Torah singles out and tells that it's motor, and therefore, if according to Reb Shimon, we have no reason to say that the Gid Anosha is like the rest of the animal because it doesn't have a time, then we should say it's also b'hanah. So again, the actual technical halacha is that it is mutter b'hanah. However, there are those who are machmir in it, in particular based on what the Zohar says, that they're very stringent on this whole idea of having hanah from the Gid Anosha. So according to the Zohar, then it would mean at least you'd have to cut off some part of the Gid Anosha. Maybe you wouldn't. I mean, the whole point of selling the back half of the animal to goyim is that you're. But the Tosfos also makes a point over here in our sugya. Tosfos says when you're selling meat to a goy, the goy is not paying for the parts that don't have a taste. So you're not really paying for the Gid Anosha, per se. You're not really having enough, as such. Yeah.
No, but
there's a
machlokes between those who
say
there is time and not.
No. Since the halacha is in the Gid Anosha, fine. Okay, but we don't care. Since the halacha is established in Al-Gemara, in the Gid Anosha, so therefore, It means, therefore, that when you're selling the piece of meat to the guy that has a gid anosha in it, he's not actually paying for the gid anosha, and therefore you're not really having hanah. If you're talking about having hanah directly from the gid anosha, then you have technically again it's mutter, but you have those raw matzah on it.
Yeah.
So the gid
anosha has great taste, but I guess not the
shuman around it and whatever. Yeah. No, I mean the meat of the back half of the animal, the meat of the leg of the animal has, there's cuts of it that are supposed to be very good cuts of meat. But since we can't eat the gidanosha and the various other things in there, so practically speaking, they don't usually bother with the cybering them because it's far too labor intensive, and therefore practically speaking, you don't find those cuts in Jewish butcher shops, right? As available, but in principle, if you were to eat meat, in principle, yeah, I mean. If you go to Israel, for example, yeah, they do triber these pieces over there, yeah. So conceivably you could.
Now, this doesn't
matter if it's a chay or a behemah. Doesn't matter chay or behemah, yeah. Chaylev it matters. Chaylev is also only in a behemah. So, but did anasha apply across the board, yeah.
Even the whole type of person to person.
Yeah, but nevertheless, so what are we going to say? You can't even get anasha of a person, you can't eat people anyway.
No, but it's now an effect of chay and a behemah.
Yeah.
Not the bird.
No, not birds. We said the reason why not birds is because of a technicality, because birds don't have a round cap. We said that the Torah tells us that you can't eat the gid anosha asher al kaf hayoreh. Kaf means a spoon.
Oh, right.
So it means, in other words, that you have with an animal the muscle in question that the gid anosha is on is rounded. It is rounded like that, and it's called a calf. Whereas in a bird, it's long and thin like that, like the thigh, or like the thigh of a chicken. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.